I'd ask you to turn again to that passage of Scripture that we read just a little earlier, please, to Romans and to the chapter number 9. And just with God's Word open before us, let us bow together, please, just in a short word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us in our gathering tonight. We thank Thee for the gospel hymns, and we thank Thee for our brother's ministry and song, and we pray that Thou would bless those truths that He has spoken and those truths that have been sung, Lord, to every heart and to every soul we pray. Lord, our prayer is that by Thy grace and mercy and by Thy love and by Thy so great salvation, that Christ would be everything and all in all to every heart and every soul in this meeting, we pray. Lord, do bless us now as we turn to Thy Word. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our understandings. And Lord, our prayer is tonight that through the foolishness of preaching, that Thou wilt save precious souls. To this end, O God, cleanse me afresh in the blood. Fill me, O God, afresh with the Holy Ghost. And have Thy way in every waiting heart this night, O Lord, as Thou alone would see the need. For we do pray and we do ask it all in the Saviour's precious name. Amen. And amen. Now our text for this evening is verse number 23 of Romans chapter 9. There the Apostle Paul is speaking about the Lord and His mercy and salvation. And he says, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He had afore prepared unto glory. Now the gospel message is a message that declares two fundamental truths. The first of these is that the misery and the ruin of the sinner is of himself. And on the other hand, the happiness and the salvation of the Christian is of God. We can say tonight that both these truths are equally important and both are equally true. Now the first of these truths, it shows us that man is responsible for his own ruin as a sinner in a lost sinner's hell. The Lord Jesus Christ made that very clear when He was speaking to those Pharisees who had rejected Him in the Gospel of John, chapter 5 and the verse 40. He said this, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. And there they told them that the blame for them not coming to Christ for salvation, it lay with themselves. He says, and ye will not come to me that you might have life. Yes, for anyone to blame God for the ruin of the sinner is but to attack God's goodness and God's mercy. Might is to deny the very word of God itself, for God says in the book of Ezekiel, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But then the second of these great truths highlights and shows to us that God alone is the author of salvation. Now the psalmist declares that salvation belongeth unto the Lord. The apostle writing to God's people in the book of Hebrews told them to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith. Why, to ascribe salvation to man's work is but to rob God of His glory. It is to rob God of His grace. It is to deny the very Scriptures, the Word of God itself. You remember the words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the Christians in Ephesus, speaking to them about their salvation. He said, and you hath He quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins, by grace are you saved. There he reminded them that it was all of God's grace. It was all of God's work in their heart and soul that they were saved. That they had been made new creatures in Christ. That they had been brought out of the darkness of sin and into the marvelous light of the gospel of Christ. And whenever we come here to Romans chapter 9 and the verse number 23, the Apostle Paul is again highlighting this same great truth. That the salvation of every sinner is for God's glory alone and is through the grace of God alone. He says there in verse 23, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. And making that great statement, as you notice it there, you see that Paul speaks of those who are vessels of mercy. In other words, he's speaking there of all those who are saved by the grace of God. All those who are a recipient in their heart and life of God's saving mercy. A few weeks ago in our gospel service, we looked at the vessels of wrath that are mentioned in verse 22 before our text. Well, tonight I want us to look at those in our text tonight who are called the vessels of mercy. Yes, tonight we want to think upon this great title that belongs to all those who are saved by the grace of God, a vessel of mercy. First of all, I want you to see the character of this vessel of mercy. Well, the Bible tells us that all men are objects of God's mercy. The Word of God says the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. However, we must say an object of mercy is different from a vessel of mercy. You see, a vessel of mercy is one who receives and one who retains God's saving mercy. Friend, in the meeting tonight, if you are to be a vessel of mercy, then you must have the saving mercy of God in your heart and life and soul. We can say tonight that the vessel of mercy is one who has heard the gospel of mercy. Think of those tremendous words in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and the verse 15. It says there, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Think of those words tonight. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What does that message tell us? It declares that Christ has come to save you and I from our sins. By this message it tells us that all will be saved who trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. In the gospel the Lord says, "Beside me there is no Savior." He is the only Savior. And friend, tonight let me say this, the greatest news that you can hear or you can ever hear, it's not the news of the television, it's not the news of the radio or the papers or the internet, that's really all bad news. But the best news that you can ever hear is the gospel message of the Bible, the message that Jesus saves. Remember the words of Paul in Romans 1 verse 16 as he speaks of the gospel. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." And what a message the message of the gospel is. Now this message tells you how you can be saved from your sins and from the ruin of your sins. Think of the little children's chorus that says, good news, Christ died for me. And the little chorus goes on to shout and to proclaim that it is wonderful, extra good news. Friend, to be a vessel of mercy, you must heed this good news. You must hear this good news. You must hearken to this good news of the gospel. We can say tonight that the vessel of mercy is one who not only hears the good news of the gospel, but they are one who receives the good news of the gospel. Think again of those words of Paul in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. He says, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation." That speaks of receiving, taking to yourself, applying to yourself the message of the gospel that Jesus saves. In the Bible you read that on the day of Pentecost there were over 3,000 in one day. After one sermon preached by Peter who received that message of the gospel for themselves. The Bible says when Peter preached the message of the gospel to them, when they heard the good news that Jesus saves, it says, "Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and that same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Then let me ask you tonight, what about you? What have you done with the gospel message? Oh, to be a vessel of mercy, you must receive the gospel message. as for yourself. You must hearken to that message. What does it mean to receive that message? It means for you to accept and for you to acknowledge before God, as our brother has already said tonight, that you're a sinner, lost and undone before a holy God. Turn with me in your Bible back to Romans chapter 3. And you'll see this very clearly for yourself. Friend, in your unsafe condition, this is your condition, your state before God tonight. Look at verses 10, 11, and 12 of Romans chapter 3. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you are to receive and hearken to the gospel message, honestly, you must own this as your state before God. And I want you to be honest tonight with yourself and honest with God. Tell me, have you ever owned yourself as a sinner, lost and undone before an almighty God? That's what it means to hear and to hearken to the gospel message, to admit your need as a sinner before God, but also to accept and acknowledge and receive the Lord Jesus Christ alone as your own and personal Savior. That's how it was with the Apostle Peter. He spoke of Christ, and he said this, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. There he acknowledges Christ as his only Savior. Tell me before God, if you ever acknowledge that it is Christ and Christ alone who can be your Savior, who can save you from your sins. The hymn writer says, what will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Tell me, have you ever accepted Christ to be your Savior? Then we can also say tonight that the vessel of mercy is one who has a changed life. Their life is changed. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A person is saved when they become a vessel of mercy. There is repentance from sin in their life. Remember Zacchaeus, that old publican tax collector who robbed the people before he was saved. When he was saved, there was a change in his life. For he said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore to him fourfold. He was making restitution. There was repentance over his past sins. Friend, let me ask you the question tonight, is repentance from sin a mark of your life, a mark of your soul before God? My, we can also say tonight, when a person is saved and a vessel of mercy, they delight in God. The delight of their soul is in God. The delight of their soul is in God's day. It is in God's house. We were looking at the words of the psalmist this morning when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Friend, let me ask you the question tonight before God. Is your delight in God tonight? Is your delight in God's day tonight? Is your delight in God's house this evening? Recently there, I was just reading the testimony of a young man by the name of Dan Walker. Some of you may know him or know of him. He's a very famous TV sports presenter. Works for the BBC. And in his lifetime has interviewed many top sports personalities and famous people from all over the world and many different walks of life. And he was asked the question, tell me, what would you rather do? Would you rather be interviewing some famous sports personality on a Saturday or on a Sunday? Or would you rather be at God's house on a Sunday? He answered that question by saying his delight isn't to interview famous people. His delight is to be with God's people, to be in God's house with the Lord's people in the Lord's day. He was delighting in the Lord.
And when a person is saved, there's this delight in the Lord and in the things of God in their heart and in their soul. And I tell you this tonight also, when a person is saved and a vessel of mercy, there is a putting of God first in their life. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Friend, let me ask you tonight, is Christ, as our brother was singing earlier, everything to you tonight? Is He the Lord of your life? Is He the first place in your life? Does He have the preeminence in your life and in your soul? For this is the mark of the vessel of mercy. This is their characteristic. But notice secondly tonight, the way to become this vessel of mercy. In verse 23 again of Romans chapter 9 it says, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy. Notice there how Paul in that verse, he talks there about the riches of God's glory. And he's referring ultimately there to the riches of God's grace. Why, when a person becomes a vessel of God's saving mercy, it's all attributed to God, to God's grace, to God's glory. Let me say tonight that you cannot become a vessel of mercy by your own family connections, no. You cannot become a vessel of mercy by your church connections, no, or by your good works, or by your money, or by your education. The Bible says that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. It says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Oh, my friend, for you to become a vessel of mercy is all through the free grace of God. That's how you become a vessel of mercy tonight, by the free grace of God. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said to Titus in Titus chapter 2 in the verse 11. He said this, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And there Paul, as he writes to Titus, highlights his salvation all to the grace of God. Remember again what Paul says later on to Titus in verse 5 of chapter 3 of the same book. He says this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Paul was a religious man. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Yet he says, not by works of righteousness that I have done, but according to His mercy have He saved us. We were singing the words of that great hymn earlier on. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. What is God's grace? God's grace is His free, unmerited favor toward poor and needy sinners. We can say tonight that God's grace is boundless. His grace is everlasting. And friend, if you are to be saved tonight in this meeting, if you are to become a vessel of mercy, then you can only be saved by and through God's marvelous grace. There is not one thing of self or of man that can contribute or work toward your soul's salvation. Does not the Bible say, for by grace are you saved through faith? And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You become a vessel of mercy through the free grace of God. You become a vessel of mercy through the merits of Christ alone. We're thinking of this time of the year of the coming of Christ, His incarnation, His first advent. Oh, why did He come? He came to die upon the cross to provide salvation for poor and needy, hell-deserving sinners. The Bible says, for Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for us, the unjust, that He might bring us to God. In Isaiah 53 in the verse 5, there the prophet Isaiah brings you and I to the very heart of the gospel. And what does he say there of Christ? But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. Oh, it is only through the merit of Christ Only through the merit of the precious blood of Christ and His perfect righteousness that you can be saved from your sins. That you can become a vessel of God's saving mercy. The hymn writer says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Friend, if your hope for salvation is not built upon the blood and the righteousness of Christ alone, then I want to warn you tonight, you're depending upon a false hope. A false hope that will damn your soul in hell forever and ever. You see, the Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. You can only experience God's saving mercy through the merits of Christ alone, through the merit of His precious blood shed on Calvary's cross, through the merit of His own perfect righteousness. Only through the merits of Christ alone can you be saved. But we can also say tonight you become a vessel of mercy by simple faith in Christ alone, faith in His blood, faith in His righteousness. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Remember the jailer in Philippi. He said, what must I do to be saved? And the answer was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, if you are to become a vessel of God's saving mercy, then by faith alone, you must accept the Lord Jesus Christ alone to be your Savior. My, by faith in Christ alone, you can know the forgiveness of all of your sins. Turn with me in your Bible back to Acts chapter 13. Look with me just at verses 38 and 39 and how the Word of God makes it very clear through faith in Christ. You can know pardon for all your sins. It says there, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that's the man Christ Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. How can you know the forgiveness of every single one of your sins before God? By faith in Christ alone. By faith in Christ you can know peace with God in your heart. The Bible says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By faith in Christ alone, you can become a member of God's family and inherit the blessings of all that family. The Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Tell me tonight, is the longing of your heart to be saved? Is the longing of your heart and soul tonight to become a vessel of God's saving mercy? Then by faith alone in your heart, call upon God. Call upon the Lord to save you. Look at that great verse that we read earlier in Romans chapter 10 and the verse number 13. Notice what it says. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you lift up your heart and your soul and prayer to the Lord and call out and cry out in faith to the Lord, He will hear your cry. He will save your soul. All that is needed for your soul's salvation is in Christ, in His blood, in His perfect righteousness alone. Oh, friend, to become a vessel of God's mercy, you must seek the Lord while He may be found. And call ye upon Him while He is near. Notice finally tonight the destiny of the vessel of mercy. Notice what Paul says in the final part of our text tonight as he speaks of these vessels of mercy. In Romans chapter 9 and the verse 23 he says, of the vessel of mercy which He had afore, notice it, prepared unto glory. Glory is the end. The final destiny of the vessel of mercy. Turn back to Romans chapter 8. Look at verse number 30. Paul says there, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. And this glory part of it speaks of the Christian, yes. reflecting the glory of God in their life. And that happens when they obey the Lord and the Lord's will, and by God's grace they show forth the beauty of Christ. Paul said to the Corinthian believers, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of God, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Oh friend, when you're saved and living for Christ, then you'll become like Christ in your life day by day. But now we can say tonight the ultimate part of this glory, it speaks of heaven. Speaks of the everlasting abode of the saints of God. Paul writing to all those, or Peter writing to all those who were saved, said this, that they were called, he said, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Friend, let me say this, this is your hope. When you are a vessel of God's saving mercy, you can look forward to heaven. You can say in your heart with the hymn writer, "We're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright." Paul says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." My, when you're a vessel of mercy, you're saved from the wrath to come. You'll never be judged for your sin in hell. But rather, you will have eternal life in heaven. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My, in heaven you'll be made perfect in holiness like Christ. David could say, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I will be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." My, in heaven you'll be free from sin and sorrow. The Bible says, "There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth." Heaven, your body will be immortal. It will be incorruptible. The Bible says, "And this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." And my, in heaven, you'll never suffer tears or pain or sickness or death. The Bible says the former things are passed away. And my, in heaven, you'll receive a glorious reward for your faithfulness to Christ on earth. The Bible says ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And my, in heaven, the Bible says you will be with Christ in the very immediate presence of Christ forever and ever. Paul says it is to be with Christ, which is far better. What a difference tonight between the destiny of the vessel of mercy and the destiny of the vessel of wrath. Turn with me just back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Look with me at the very last verse of this chapter. Here you see the difference between the destiny of the vessel of wrath and the destiny of the vessel of mercy. Notice what it says. Here the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is speaking. He says of the vessels of wrath at the beginning of verse 46 of Matthew chapter 25. "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." That speaks of judgment and hell forever and ever. Look at the end of the verse. That speaks of the destiny of the vessel of mercy. "But the righteous into life eternal." What an end. Friend, where will you be in eternity? Where you shall be in eternity, it depends upon what you do in time with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're to be ready for death, if you are to be ready for eternity, if you are to be sure of heaven after this life, then now in time you must be saved by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." There was once a family, and the father had been taken in death from that family. It was just a little girl in the family, and the mother left. The mother was seeking to explain the death of her husband to the little girl, and she said this. She says, "God has sent for your father, and he will send for us. but I don't know just when. The little girl replied to her mother. She said, if we don't know when God is going to send for us, then we'd better pack up and get ready, if we are to be ready for heaven when the Lord sends for us. Friend, on Steve, is it not time that you get ready? Is it not time you made preparation for death and for eternity? Maybe you'll say, I'll get saved next Sunday night. I'll get saved next week, next month. How do you ever know you'll see next Sunday night, let alone next month or next year? Just where we lived, used to live in Castle Derg, we received news this morning of a young woman in the prime of her life, just 52 years of age, got dead in her bed this morning, gone out into God's eternity. In the fullness of health, taken out into eternity. Friend, if that were you, where would you be? Are you tonight a vessel of mercy? Or are you still on sea of tonight? A vessel of wrath, under God's wrath, under God's condemnation, awaiting the judgment of God upon you for your sin. Friend, it's time to seek the Lord. Don't you go away tonight without Christ as your Savior. You accept Him. You call upon Him. Settle the eternal destiny of your soul tonight. Then with Paul, you'll be able to look forward to being with Christ, which is for a better young person, older person. There's nothing more important tonight in your life for you to be saved, for you to be right with God, for you to be sure and ready for heaven. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, tonight for Thy presence with us. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would take Thy word and Thy truth, Lord, and that Thou, Lord, will write it indelibly upon hearts and upon souls. And Lord, our prayer is, Lord, that by Thy grace, that for every soul in this meeting, from the very youngest to the oldest, that they will be a vessel of God's saving mercy. That there will be a turning from sin, a turning to Christ by faith, a laying hold upon Christ by faith and a trusting in Him. And that there might be that receiving of Christ as Savior in every heart and every soul in this meeting tonight. We thank Thee for each and every one that is saved, that has made that preparation, who can look forward to the eternal mercy of God in heaven. But for those tonight who are not saved, who can only look forward to the eternal judgment upon them in hell. Oh, that they would flee from the wrath to come. That this night they would accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Lord, give believing faith. Give deciding grace to the sin. Part us with Thy fear and favor. Take us to our homes in safety. And grant, Lord, that this very night they'll be rejoicing in the courts of heaven over sinners in Market Hill, coming to know and to seek the Lord. Answer prayer, O God, we pray, in the Saviour's great name. Amen and amen.